Final message I bring you to Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10, the final message for our mission. And I want to read from verse 9, please. If you get to Daniel, he's the next book. Daniel, Hosea. And let's go to chapter 10. And just reading a few verses from the words of verse 9, please. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them. The people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught, loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck, I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plough, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have ploughed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Amen. We're ending a reading at the end of verse 13, we know the Lord will add his own divine blessing upon us. Let's unite our hearts together, please. Short word of prayer as we come to the preaching of God's precious word. Heavenly Father, we do return thee thanks for thy mercies toward us. We believe, Lord, that this mission has been ordained of God from eternity past. And O God, we bless thee that we believe. We'll be able to look back with fondness and speak of Riverside 2012. God, I thank the Lord for answers to prayer. Thank the Lord for saving that man. God, I pray, Lord, that thou would, Lord, cause him to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Savior. Save his family members. Be pleased to work on in majesty. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst work on in hearts this night. So no mistake, Lord, those who are in the sea. Lord, we pray as we come to thy word. In a text, Lord, that is even before us. We pray that thou might write it in the heart of every sinner tonight. And O God, that thou might be pleased to, Lord, give that conviction of sin. The soul or souls might seek the Lord. O God, how we've been singing a very solemn hymn. Life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf. Like the binding of a sheaf. Lord, souls need to be in time. We pray, Lord, that they might be in time tonight. We ask, Lord, thou would fill us with thy spirit and with power. Give me, Lord, that unction from above. Help me to preach as thus. And thus saith the Lord, for we ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen. The book of Hosea stands at the head of what is known as the 12 minor prophets. And although they might be minor in terms of their length, they certainly are not minor in terms of the inspiration of God, nor in what God has to say through his servants. Hosea was a man endued with a deep knowledge of God. Hosea is a man of prayer, and he's a man who understood what language the people would have understood. That is why you'll find throughout these chapters of his book the use of many metaphors and many pictures. But above all, he was a man who knew the mind of God and what it was for the people of Israel and what he required of them. And what God was to reveal through his servant at times is far from being pleasant. The reason being that here were a people who had sinned against the Lord, and here were a people who had turned to idolatry. They had turned their back on their privileges. And Hosea was sent to warn them of impending judgment if they didn't repent. You look at the words of verse 11 of this chapter 10 that we have read even tonight. And Israel here is termed Ephraim. And she is likened to a heifer. And the heifer in those days, as was the custom, would have been trained so as to tread out the corn. And you'll notice in verse 11 it says, and she loveth to tread out the corn. She loveth to do that work because the heifer was permitted to eat as much as she liked as she worked. And so as she tread out the corn, she could eat away at the corn itself. She loved the job. But if the heifer misbehaved, then that heifer was taken, and it was instead put into a harness, and it would have been put at the front of the plough, and into bondage. And men and women, that is a graphic illustration of the message that Hosea had for these people. They had been blessed. They had been privileged. But yet, that privilege was to be taken from them, and they were about to be brought into bondage. From being a house of God, they would become a house of iniquity. That's how far this land had gone. They had received of the goodness of God, verse 1, but they in turn were to abuse that goodness so that they went about to increase their wickedness and to increase their sin. And doesn't the word of Romans 2 and verse 4 remind us that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? And that's what these people were being exhorted to do. Men and women, that's what the message of the Savior is to your heart tonight as we approach the close of this mission. And what we might say has been a time of gospel privilege to many a soul, to your soul, who are still in this meeting without Christ. Interestingly, the name of Hosea, it means Savior or salvation. And the Savior comes and is called to your heart tonight is found in my text, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He come and rain righteousness upon you. Let me show you first of all the requirement. Hosea was a down-to-earth man. He uses terms and analogies which the people would have understood so as to convey the message of the Lord to their hearts. And the picture that stares us in the face from our text tonight is that of an agricultural scene. And it shows what God requires of you tonight in the gospel. There must be the breaking up of the fallow ground. Or to use the picture of the field, there has to be that plowing work done on your heart. For when the plow goes in, it breaks the sod, it turns over the ground, ground that was left to itself, ground that wasn't touched for a season, ground that only brings forth of itself that which is already in the soil. And what is already in the soil? But weeds and thorns and thistles, because God cursed this earth when sin entered into this world. That's what fallow ground is. It's ground left. It's ground untouched. And here is the exhortation. That preparation work is necessary if that piece of ground is ever to bring forth a good harvest. Here is something that's not a new truth. For what Hosea is saying here is merely repeating what Jeremiah has already stated. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 3, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Notice the detail he gives there. You can't sow among thorns, because Christ was, you remember, to state that the thorns only rise up, and they choke the good seed of the word, so that it never produces a harvest. And so it is with you, dear souls, spiritually tonight. This ought to be your priority, so that your heart would be a prepared ground for the good seed of God's word. And the reason why you need your heart broken up and you need your heart cultivated is that in of itself it is hard by nature. It is hardened because of sin. Your heart is not ordinarily receptive to God's word. It's like Aaron's heart.
For Pharaoh's heart was hardened, whereby he was to say, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice?"
Maybe that's the cry of your innermost being tonight. You preach about God, preacher. You preach about Christ. But why should I obey the call of the Lord? Your heart is against God. Your heart actively pursues those things that are evil and wicked. And I want to tell you something. It will manifest itself in what you say and in what you do. For Matthew 15, the Savior said this, verse 18, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." If there's evil and if there's sin in the heart, I tell you, sir, it'll come out of your mouth. It'll come out of your mouth, dear. Because what's in the heart must come out. And what comes out of the heart? Verse 19. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." These are the things which defile a man. There are seven fruits of a depraved spirit. And that's the heart of man tonight. And it will always be so unless God steps into your life and there is a change wrought. And you know, Hosea brings out the very same truth. You turn over to chapter 4. Hosea 4, verse 1, look at it. Verse 2, just two verses. "Hear the word of the Lord," he says, "ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land." The Lord had a controversy with the land. And that applied to Israel. I might say tonight, the Lord has a controversy with this land. And if you read on, you'll see what it is. Because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. That's quickly becoming our state in this wee land that we love and cherish the most. Look at verse 2. What's the first thing? By swearing. And I tell you, it comes out of what is in the heart comes out of the mouth. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. There's the harvest of our land. Dear soul, without God's salvation, your heart is hardened to the ways of righteousness and of truth. And if you're ever to be saved and to have the light of heaven in your soul, then that heart of yours needs to be broken. And a broken and a contrite spirit, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. You consider the phrase, "break up the fallow ground," in our text. The word comes from a noun, light or candle. You might say to me, preacher, well, how does that fit into the picture? You've been speaking about the agricultural field, you've been speaking about the comparison, the illustration of the heart of man. How does that fit in? Did you ever stand and look over a freshly ploughed field? Do you ever watch the plough go in when the blade turns over the earth? There's a sheen. There's a sheen off it. You see, the contact of that blade going in has meant the left, that it means that the soil is left shining as the sun reflects over it or on it. And dear soul, if you are to have the reflection of heaven in your soul, if you are to have the light of God's saving grace, then you need to break up the fallow ground. And God would say to you tonight again, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart. But you know there's something else that is required, and it's the sowing. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. God requires that you would sow to yourselves in righteousness. What's that? That's the word of God. That's the gospel. That's the good seed of the Word, the good seed of the Gospel, that incorruptible seed. That is the matter of life and death. That is the matters of heaven and hell. It's obeying the exhortation of Matthew 6:33, where it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." There's many another thing in this world you're sowing first. Many another thing that you sow into your heart and into your mind. apart from the Word of God, apart from the things of God's righteousness. When the Scriptures speak about repentance, it does not just mean turning away from sin, but there needs to be a turning also to the Lord. And for the farmer who cultivates the ground, and there's the plowing, there needs to be the sowing if he can expect a harvest to come forth. And so it is spiritually. Dear soul, you need to realize that you are the sinner, that your heart is hard, and that you need to receive the precious seed of God's Word. It's not enough to turn over a new leaf. There are many, many who have done that. Many have been sorry for their sin only because of the misery and only because of the ruin it has caused in their life. But true repentance is to turn unto the Lord. Repentance and faith. Isaiah brings it out in Isaiah 55 and verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. There's repentance. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The plowing followed by the sowing. Has God been putting in the plow into your heart of late? Has God's Spirit been striving with you even during this mission? What's going to be your response? Here, so you need to break up the fallow ground. You need the sowing of God's truth and righteousness. But you see, the problem is this, that you have an old heart that is given over to sin. Your nature is totally in bondage to the ways of the world, of the flesh, and the devil. And if you're going to have a change of heart, then you need God to come and to do it for you. And therefore the need for you to call out to God for mercy in salvation. And you know, His promise is found in Ezekiel chapter 36 and 26. He says, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you an heart of flesh. He doesn't do a renovation job with an old heart. He gives you a new heart. A heart for the things of God. A heart for prayer. A heart for God's people. He does the job right. What is required? You must seek God. Like the text here at my side, the text says, seek the Lord. And it's Jehovah. It is the eternal God who is unchanging that's in our text. That is the true and living God whose justice against sin, whose holiness is still the same today as it was in Hosea's day. It hasn't changed. I wonder, will this night find you personally seeking the Lord in salvation? In Jeremiah 29 verse 13 we read this, and ye shall seek me and find me, listen, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. There's God's promise. Dear sinner, if you're to be saved and reconciled to a holy God, then you must come God's way. And God's way is through the person and through the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's what we have preached throughout this mission. It's Christ and His work of Calvary. That's the only way you can be saved. But not only do you see the requirement, but I want you to see the reasons. There's good reason you see why the verse is put in the manner in which it is. To Israel, a message from the Lord through His servant was, for it is time to seek the Lord. Are we to look upon this just as a general call to repentance, or should we believe it to be more specific than that? I believe it to be the latter. For the call to them is, repent now. The call to them is, seek the Lord now. And that can be seen because of the time spent in sin. You look at the words of verse 9. And you'll find there an incredible span of time intimated. It says, O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. As a nation, they had sinned against God. They had turned their back on the Lord. They had turned to their idols from the time that the battles were fought against Gibeah. Where's that? That takes us back to the book of Judges. just after the time of Joshua. Just after the time that they entered into the promised land, that land that God had given unto them, and they were to possess for themselves. And from that time until now, in the days of Isaiah, just before their captivity, was 800 years. 800 years they had sinned. 800 years they had done evil against the Lord. And the message therefore to them, through God's servant now was, it's time to seek the Lord. Many wasted years. My dear friend, I'm conscious tonight that I preach to those who might not have stayed and sinned just 10, 15, 20 years. But maybe I'm preaching to someone and you have a lifetime of sin. You have a lifetime of iniquity and a rebellion against the Lord is behind you. A lifetime of wasted years serving the devil. And God would come with a message to your heart on account of that. It's simple. It's time to seek the Lord. Whether you've turned your back against God and the things that are eternal for a few or many years, it's time that you sought the Lord in mercy for your soul's salvation. Another reason why that ought to be so is because of the coming of judgment. All sin is obnoxious in God's sight. He's a holy God. He's a God that must punish sin. And His justice demands that He does. The prophet Habakkuk, another minor prophet, reminds us of that. God is of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look upon iniquity. He must and He will punish and judge sin. And that was evident even to this nation who had turned away from God and followed the ways of sin in Hosea's day. They needed to understand that the judgment of God was coming, and that was imminent. You notice the word, or the use of the word now in verse 2 and 3. It says their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. Verse 3, for now they shall say, we have no king. What happened to their king? Verse 15, he was cut off. His kingdom would be destroyed, broken up, and the nation would be in captivity. And that's why God in mercy sends Hosea. He warns them of this. This is before their captivity. He warns them and He gives that exhortation, for it is time to seek the Lord. Do you see what they're heard to say? Verse 8. Look at the end of it. And they say unto the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. Wonder, did you ever read that anywhere else? Let me take you to the book of Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and you'll find it was what the Savior was to say about Jerusalem, or that would be heard to be said about Jerusalem. Luke 23, verse 29, for behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the pots which never get suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. And those words were spoken in Jerusalem and all about Jerusalem, for the judgment of God would come upon that place. That place that had killed the Christ of God. That place that had put to death and stoned them that had been sent unto them. And their house would be left unto them desolate. But you know those words are also found in Revelation 6. And there the cry of the kings and the great men of the earth, indeed, every facet of mankind, for there's a sevenfold category of mankind found in those verses and mentioned in those words. And they're crying for the mountains to fall upon them. Why? Because the day of the wrath of the Lamb has come, and who shall be able to stand? God's judgment is coming. My dear friend, you need to seek the Lord for salvation. You need to make peace with God through the blood of His cross. Because there is coming the greater judgment of God upon this world and upon sin. And on that day, that great day, as you stand before God, if I can bring you there, and you stand before God having left this world, rejecting Christ, having sat in gospel missions like this for many nights, and heard your need of a Savior, and yet you went out saying no to Christ.
and you have died without any saving testimony left behind of God's saving grace, and you stand before God, and you're there, no one to plead your cause, you have no advocate with the Father, you have no one to step forward and say, I have paid their judgment, I have borne their sin, I have died for that man, I have shed my blood for that soul, he is mine, and I am his. No one to say those words. I want to tell you, friend, you'll be cast out into outer darkness, where there will be the reaping of a harvest of sin, and that for all eternity, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is never quenched. That's why you need to seek the Lord. But there's another reason, and that is because it's commanded by the Lord. You see, it's the Lord who tenderly and in mercy is coming to this rebellious people. And the Lord tenderly and mercifully comes to you tonight, and he reminds you, for it is time to seek the Lord. Now that's the word of Almighty God who spake this world into being. That's the word of the Lord who commanded the winds and the seas to be calm. That's the word of the Lord. A word that shall never fail. A word that is forever settled in heaven. And the Lord comes to a guilty, undeserving sinner such as you. One who cannot do anything to affect their own salvation. One who cannot change their heart to be at peace with God. And yet God says to you tonight, in mercy, it's time to seek the Lord. What a merciful command that is. What grace. I wonder, will you avail of this opportunity to seek the Lord while you may be found? Call upon him while he is near. I believe God has been striving and God has been convicting of sin in many hearts. And thank God he has seen it. What are you going to do with this last opportunity, this mission? The reason why it's time to seek the Lord. I want you to see finally the response. What would be the response to the nation if they turned in true repentance? If they forsook their sinful ways, if they turned to the Lord? It would mean a difference positionally. They would be no longer under the wrath and judgment of a holy God, but they would be counted as righteous in his sight. The Lord says at the end of my text, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. When a man is counted righteous, he then is justified in God's sight. Just as if he had never sinned, he has a standing before God that he never had before. He's saved. He's like the publican that we preached on one other night. The publican in the temple who knew the Lord doing that work of plowing and that work of sowing in his heart, and he could only seek the Lord in mercy, and so we hear him cry out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. It states that that man went home justified rather than the religious Pharisee. And dear sinner in our meeting tonight, that's what your greatest need is this evening. It's to have the righteousness of God laid to your account. It's to have God take off the filthy rags of your sin and your self-righteousness and clothe you in Christ's spotless garment. For God to declare you righteous, to declare you just, so that you might go home tonight no longer at enmity with God, no longer in sin, but in peace with God, justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who took upon himself that enmity, the one who paid that punishment that was our due. And the blessing of God's salvation
gives you that position which you never had before, as one of being accepted in the Beloved, and as one as adopted into God's family. You don't want to be there tonight? You don't like to go out of this meeting saved, knowing you're a child of God, child of the King? You see, that's what salvation gives you. But if you should come to Christ for salvation, then you'll also know the promises of God to your soul. To Israel, the promise was that if they sowed in righteousness, they would reap in mercy. Let me ask you something tonight. And throughout this mission, I've asked some poignant questions. And here's another one. What are you sowing tonight? What exactly are you sowing tonight? For you see, I'm reminded in Galatians, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's the natural law of the harvest. Farmer sows corn, he'll reap corn. Now what are you sowing? If you sow sin one day, you'll reap the world one. If you sow to the flesh, then you'll reap corruption. But dear soul, why not seek the Lord in salvation and reap everlasting life? That's the difference. There's mercy with the Lord, and He can be merciful to you, the sinner, tonight. And that is all because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who took our sin and made it His very own. And in obedience to the Father's will, He laid down His life on that old cross. He shed His precious blood so as to pay the full price of our redemption. And because Christ has paid it all, then the repentant sinner can know by experience the mercy of God in Christ and enjoy every promise of this book. And one of the promises is, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Even though you have had a lifetime of rebellion and a lifetime of saying no to Christ, He'll still be merciful. He'll still take you in. Will you take God at His word tonight? It's only the power of God that is able to bring about such a change. Don't miss the truth of the final words of my text. Till He come and rain righteousness upon you. The blessings that are promised are only realized when God comes and does the work. The reaping of a glorious and a good life and a good harvest is only experienced when God gives the rain. That rain causes the seed to germinate and to grow, and it bears forth fruit, and so it is spiritually. And as God's servant, I have sought to sow the seed. But the Lord must come. And the Lord alone must water that seed of His word in your heart. And by the power and by the working of His Holy Spirit, if it's going to bring forth fruit unto His glory. And I wonder tonight as I close, has God been striving with you tonight? Aye, and I might say, has God been striving with you throughout this mission? And there's nights you've stayed away deliberately, but there's nights you've come and God has spoken to you and you've been troubled. Then don't delay any longer. For it is time to seek the Lord. But submit. Submit tonight to Christ. Submit to God's way of salvation. Seek Christ as your Lord and Savior. And be saved, young man. Be saved, older man or woman. For the message is clear. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Will you seek the Lord? It is my prayer that your response will be that you will seek the Lord tonight for His glory's sake. For it is time to seek the Lord. I'm praying the Lord will write that part of that text in your soul. I will not give you rest until you make peace with God. It is time. It's time to seek the Lord. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. I'll give you the invitation on other nights. I'll do it again. We'll plead with you to come. Settle this old matter. Matter of your sin. You can seek the Lord where you are. I pray that you will. I pray that you might repent of your sin and turn to Christ. You know, I always have a fear when a mission comes to a close. For God has been passing this way. My fear is that God will never speak again. God's Spirit will stop striving with you. That's why it's time to seek the Lord. Will you seek Him tonight? If we can be of any help, we're here for you. Gladly spend time around the Word. If you need a lift home, we'll give you a lift home afterwards. If there's somebody with you, let them stay with you. Ask them to stay with you. We'll gladly open the book to you. Point you to the Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the message of Thy salvation. Thank the Lord that Thou art a merciful God. O God, we thank Thee for Thy grace. And yet, Lord, even though a sinner might be rebellious and turn their back to the message of the gospel, yet we thank the Lord that Thou hast spoken again this word, for it is time to seek the Lord. O God, give the needed grace, give the gift of faith tonight, that souls might look away by faith to the old rugged cross. They might see the One high lifted up, One who stood into their place, One who shed His royal crimson blood, that they might be pardoned, that they might be declared righteous and just by coming by faith to the Savior and accepting what He did on Calvary's cross. O God, have mercy on souls, we pray. Lord, may they not procrastinate any longer. May they not put it off. But O God, come. Come, Lord. Apply the word by Thy Spirit tonight. Bring souls to Christ. Thank you, Lord, for these meetings. Part us with Thy blessing and Thy fear. I may the blessing of the thrice holy God, for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide upon God's people both now forevermore. We pray in Jesus' precious name.